Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Again, President Barack Obama talked heavily about healthcare last night, but the very last question was about the arrest of African-American Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates, Jr. Here's what the president had to say.
What I think we know, separate and apart from this incident, is that there is a long history in this country of African Americans and Latinos being stopped by law enforcement disproportionately.
All right, this incident has sparked a national conversation. One question: how do law enforcement agencies train their officers to be sensitive to racial profiling, and is the training effective? Joining us, we've got Dr. Philip Ativa Goff, assistant professor of psychology at the University of California, Los Angeles, executive director also of research for the Consortium for Police Leadership in Equity. And we've also got Rick Wager, lieutenant in charge of training at the San Jose Police Department. Welcome, gentlemen. And let me just jump right in. Philip, tell us, what exactly is your group, the Consortium for Police Leadership in Equity? What do you guys do?
Good to be here with you this morning, Farai. What we do is we create partnerships between law enforcement and world-class social scientists to do research on equity-related issues. Essentially, what happens is a police chief will come to us and say, we're concerned that we're not hiring enough women, that not enough Latinos are advancing in our ranks, or that our officers may, in fact, be engaging in racial profiling. We then get researchers with those kinds of specialties to come in and give them answers that aren't just publishable but can translate into concrete interventions.
All right. Just give us a little tiny bit of the work that you have already done with the Denver Police Department.
In Denver, there was, as there have been in many large urban centers across the nation, an officer-involved shooting. The suspect was black. The officer was white. And the community asked the question, does the Denver Police Department train its officers to shoot and kill young black men? They had an interest in finding out the answer, did the chief and the executive staff. So they brought in Dr. Josh Carell to take a look at bias in the use of deadly force, and they brought in me to take a look at use of force generally. What we did then was we came in, we tested individual officers for their level of racial prejudice. We used a bunch of computer tests as well as survey right. measures. We linked then individual racial bias to use of force and right. Citizen stops.
All right. I want to turn actually to Rick Wager. You're at the San Jose Police Department. And before I get to what you guys have done, I just really want to bring up that our audience is very engaged about this. We have Joe who writes, I don't buy that every police officer in the nation is racist or even that every working class white cop is racially biased. We've got also feedback from Bob who writes, I am a cop. Do you know how many people I've arrested in their own home? Too many to count. The law states if I'm dispatched to an address, then that gives me a lawful reason to be there. But once I've determined that the reason for me being there is no longer valid, then I must leave when asked. Again, Rick, you're at the San Jose Police Department. Frame for us, thank you, what you guys do in terms of training around these issues.
Well, it's interesting. Since 2001, when California passed a racial and cultural diversity training law, the department has been training in this as well as all the departments in the state. And I'll just give you four quick bullet points. We train our officers to understand the cultural differences among our residents. We talk to them about the negative impacts of bias and prejudice and how stereotyping is a hindrance to effective law enforcement. And we also talk to them about that the perspectives of a diverse local community are very important. And if we don't have that respect and that two-way respect and don't develop those police-community relations, that we won't succeed in our work.
I understand that you in San Jose have reached out to Philip, again, who runs the Consortium for Police Leadership and Equity, have not worked with him, but, what are you looking for to add to your selection of training?
Well, I believe that my chief, Rob Davis, is looking to answer to the concerns or the perceptions of the public that our department is engaged in racially biased policing. And we've the command staff here has done a lot of work. We've gone to a lot of training, and we're trying to understand those concerns. And we also understand the concerns of the officers, as you pointed out a moment ago, that officers don't want to be seen as racist. And as the research of Dr. Goff and Dr. Eberhard and some of his associates points out, it can be unintentional biases that people hold that causes this racially biased policing, as opposed to a bunch of racist police officers running around. And we believe that a vast majority of the men and women in law enforcement have no intention of being prejudiced.
All right. Professor Goff, Philip, there is so much antagonism that has been heavily documented between many communities of color and the police who come into the communities all the time. You know, sometimes even when there's not a racial difference between the officers and the community. How hopeful are you that we can bridge some of these gaps over the long term?
I'm tremendously hopeful. I think it's important to remember that when the laws of this nation were explicitly racist, it was the job of law enforcement in this country to enforce them. And we're not that many years away from that. During that period of time, there was absolutely no transparency to the outside world. Independent researchers could not get access to police officers and police records. And now we're in a new generation of police leadership. Chief Davis in San Jose, Chief Whitman in Denver, Chief Burbank in Salt Lake City, and the major cities' Chiefs Association have begun to open their doors to independents because they actually want progress on this issue. And so when there's, you know, where there's light, I think there can be solutions to this.
All right. Quickly, Rick Wager, lieutenant with the San Jose Police Department, are you hopeful?
I'm very hopeful. I was excited when I heard that Chief Davis was bringing in Dr. Goff and his consortium to look at what we're doing here in San Jose. And I think it's going to lead to some new hiring practices, maybe some new training for our officers, and a better dialogue with the community.
Well, I want to thank you both gentlemen for joining us. That was Rick Wager, lieutenant in charge of the training division at San Jose. He's been on the force for 18 years. And Dr. Philip Atiba Goff, assistant professor of psychology at the University of California, Los Angeles, also executive director of research for the Consortium for Police Leadership and Equity.
Thanks, Farai, and that's one story we're going to be following. We are also still going to be following the debate over health care. You can keep up to date by following Todd Zwillick's Twitter feed. He is our correspondent in Washington, and you can sign up for his feed at thetakeaway.org.
You know, we really want to hear from you. What did you get out of the health care statements by the president? Call us 877-8-MY-TAKE or email mytake@thetakeaway.org. Here is one takeaway on health care costs.
Everybody loves cost control until you try to cut costs at the local hospital, and then the local congressman goes in and says, oh, no, you can't cut my hospital. That's the problem.
All right. That's T.R. Reid, author of The Healing of America. And you know what? This is just going to roll on, Lynn.
It is indeed, and we're going to be here covering it. I'm Lynn Scherr.
I'm Farai Chidea. This is The Takeaway.